Our message today is about the practice of creating sacred space. And as I thought about this, I hearkened back this week to, my goodness, over 9 years ago when Lauren and I were in a childbirth class. Lauren was pregnant with Leah, our first child, and we were learning some healthy and helpful practices for the labor and delivery process. And I remember one of these practices very vividly, that as all of the craziness of labor is happening and all of the pain and all of the just new stuff that Lauren was going to be experiencing, the first thing that they asked her to do and us to do was to picture in our minds somewhere peaceful and to take a deep breath with our eyes closed, imagining ourselves in that place. And we were to practice this every day, multiple times a day, through the time when she was going into labor. Because the idea is that there are ways in which our bodies usher us, and we've talked about this already this summer, usher us into a different place. Think of this from the other angle. How many of you have ever sat down on your couch to pray, to read the Bible, to connect with God? And within just moments, you have the best of intentions, but within moments, you notice the cobwebs in the corner, right? And then you look to your left and you see how dirty the windows are. And these things keep piling up, and pretty soon, instead of praying and reading your Bible, connecting with God, you're scheduling a doctor's appointment, you're planning your meals, and getting ready to go to the store, right? How many of you have had that experience? There is something that in the space that we're in can either help us to be receptive and connective, or it can hinder us from being able to get in that space where we can truly engage and let go and be present with God, or with others for that matter. As we read the Old Testament, we see that God is aware of this, not surprisingly, and gives his people practices to help them with this reality. And I don't know that we always read it like this. And too often in Christian history and Christian traditions, we have read the Bible like Jesus was liberating us from rituals and the temple and these other physical forms of spirituality. But in reality, the rituals that God gave the people, the festivals that God gave the people, the calendar and the temple even, those were a part of God's liberating process as he liberated his people from slavery and from idolatry. We can learn from these practices that God gave our faith ancestors, the Hebrew people. As we develop spaces and physical practices to form our minds and our hearts, that's what we're going to call this morning creating sacred space. And we're going to begin we're going to skim a little bit in Exodus 25. And this is where God has brought the people out of Egypt, and he's just beginning to give them the Torah, the instruction, the covenant that they are to live by. And so this is what the Lord said to Moses: "Tell the Israelites to take for me an offering from all whose hearts prompt them to give you. From all whose hearts prompt them to give you shall receive the offering for me. This is the offering that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and crimson yarns and fine linens, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and gems." And you're thinking at this point, what in the world? Why does God, is God just like likes to bling out or something? Like, why is God asking for all of these things? Here's why: "And have them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them." And then he's going to go on and tell them how to put this sanctuary together. In verse 10, it says, "They shall make an ark of acacia wood." Oh, that's what the acacia wood is for. And he gives the instructions for that. "You shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and outside you shall overlay it. You shall cast four rings of gold for it and put them on its 4 feet, two rings on the one side, two rings on the other. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark by which to carry the ark. So it's going to be a mobile space. And this is what we're talking about, a spirituality in the wild. They're still in the wilderness as we read this text. Then you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits, and so on. You shall make 2 cherubim of gold. You shall make them of hammered work at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. If you remember at this point in the story, we should be thinking back to Eden, where God put 2 angels outside of the garden, outside the tree of life, outside of Eden. And that's the place. Eden was the place where heaven and earth were together, where God and humanity dwelled together. So right now we're starting to get clues that are taking us back to this story. He goes on and he says in verse 23, you shall make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long and the measurements. You shall overlay it with pure gold, make a molding of gold around it. You shall make around it a rim, a handbreadth wide, and a molding of gold around the rim. You shall make its plates and dishes for incense and its flagons and bowls with which to pour drink offerings. You shall make them pure gold, and you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me always. The bread, we've just heard a story about how God fed the people with manna in the wilderness, right? And so this is, again, the symbol that connects to their story. And then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. And I'm not going to read all of that, but this is the menorah. You shall make the 7 lamps for it. The lamp shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. And this is a reminder of that God is the light. The first words, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so for now, I'm going to say the word of the Lord, and you say, thanks be to God, right? I know we're just skimming because I want you to stay with me as much as we can this morning. It gets really detailed. But what's happening is that they are creating this little Eden to remind them and to usher them into this time when heaven and earth were together, when God and humanity were so close and so intimate, because they are supposed to be, they are called to be and chosen to be the people that reflect God's image to the world, that bring the good news, that show the world who the Creator God is. And God is giving them a physical experience of God's presence and the story that they're a part of. We know this because in this whole speech that Moses is giving, or God is giving to Moses and he's passing on to the Israelites, that the temple or the tabernacle is built and dedicated in 7 speeches over 7 days. A direct reflection of the creation story in Genesis 1. And then on the 7th day, the priests settle into it and rest in it, and they consecrate it just as God consecrated the 7th day and made it holy. And the Levites and the priests are told to work it and to keep it. And where we heard those words before are when God puts human beings in the garden, he says, work it and keep it. And so what we see again is that God is giving these people an experience, a physical reminder and experience of Eden, of this ideal, this beautiful vision of what this world can be, of what we can be as God's people. It's a little sacred space where the God who created and reigns over the cosmos dwells and reigns. A little sacred space within the grand cosmos where God reigns. It's a little physical space and experience of what Jesus tells us to pray on earth as it is in heaven. And that is how the Jewish people understood the temple, and in particular, the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies, as this special thin place where God and humanity could meet. Now, a few weeks ago on Pentecost, we talked about the explosion of the Spirit out into the world, and the decentralization and the democratization of the Holy Spirit, and how God is saying when Jesus came out of that tomb is basically saying, this whole thing is my temple, just as it was always meant to be. This whole thing is where I will dwell. This whole earth, this whole creation is where I will be. And so That's true, but that doesn't mean we are any less embodied or in need of those little physical reminders and those physical sacred spaces and experiences as we journey with the Spirit towards Christ-likeness and towards a deeper experience of heaven and earth coming together in us and around us. And so with that in mind, that's what we're doing today, is we're going to talk about this practice of creating a sacred space. And sacred is really just from this word, same word from which we get holy. And these are words that mean set apart or made different or consecrated. These are little, whatever it is, whether it's a person or a thing or a place, it's something that we or God have set apart to be different or to be special. And so what we're doing is we're creating spaces that are set apart for the purposeful times that we have of engaging with God. Now, some of you might think that's kind of weird. And as we're talking about some of the symbols that you might have or the physical items that you might have in your sacred space, you might think, wait a second, is this getting idolatrous? Are these idols that we're making? Are these images of sacred things that are harmful things? Is this kind of like the temple? And is this God ordained or not? And these things can be. These little spaces that we make, they can become idolatrous and harmful if we are looking at them as, this is the only place where I can connect with God. Or places where I assume, well, if I go there, God better show up in the way I want God to. But in this case, it's not God necessarily sanctifying it or setting apart. It's you being purposeful about a space or an item that will help you to connect with God. You are the one sanctifying this space and setting it apart, not to manipulate God's presence, but to help you get your whole self, body, mind, spirit, soul, into a place where you're ready to offer yourself to God and to release control, to receive God's presence and God's word, and to connect. The key to this not being idolatrous is that we're not limiting spirituality to this space. We're simply being purposeful and strategic about who we are as human beings, what we need. It's almost like a training ground so that we can better experience and embody God's presence in the world. You might think of these sacred spaces like a spring training facility. I'm lamenting now the lack of a baseball season, but all Major League Baseball teams have spring training facilities. And these facilities have indoor and outdoor spaces that are specially designed to prepare and train these baseball players and these teams so that they can be at their best when they're on the field against another team during the regular season and in the playoffs. The game isn't played in the spring training facilities. The game is played in these other spaces. The spring training facilities are sacred in that they're set apart for the purpose of preparing these players to be able to embody the fullness of their skill and their craft when they really need to do it during the games and during the season. That's what we're doing here. We're designing a space to help you to grow and train and learn in the presence of God so that you can more purposely live the life of Jesus in the Spirit wherever you go. And so your sacred space then, there's a range of things that you could do and be creative with it. I know people who have made up whole rooms in their houses that are dedicated to their spiritual practice. Some have built little sheds in the back or, you know, that are dedicated to those purposes. On the other hand, I know people who have, you know, maybe it's just a bracelet that helps them to remember something that's true. It can be anywhere in between those. The question is, what helps me to take off my armor, right? You know what I'm talking about, the armor you wear to protect yourself and to survive day in and day out. What helps me to take off my armor so that I can receive grace and truth from God? In John 1, it says, Jesus came, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, made his dwelling among us. He was full of grace and truth. Those are the things we need, and they're hard for us. If we have our armor on, we're not experiencing grace. We're usually in achieve, attain, conquer, be strong mode, or protect ourselves mode. We need to receive grace. We are also not usually able to receive truth, especially hard truth. We get defensive, we get aggressive, we don't want to hear it. But if we want a true, if we want this to not be an idolatrous space, it's truly a space where God is near, we're asking ourselves, what helps me to hear the truth that God needs to speak and to infuse into my life, as encouraging or as hard and challenging as that might be? What reminds me, this is the question, another question you can ask, what reminds me that this is valuable time and I don't have to accomplish or achieve anything? That's another problem we have, as I mentioned before. We get in this time, we're like, I'm not doing anything. And we try and do things that are more productive in our own minds, cleaning and shopping and whatever the case may be. No. You need reminders that this time, this moment, this space of connecting with God intentionally is valuable. It is productive. It is worth your time. Maybe probably more valuable than a lot of the other things that make you feel productive throughout a day. So as you create your sacred space, and I'm gonna go in between. I'm not gonna tell you how to design a whole room. I'm not gonna just give you one little thing, but we're asking what ushers me into the truth of God's holiness and God's love. And I'm gonna give you two categories of things. One category is things that have symbolic value. So we talked about the bread of the presence and the cherubim in the ark. Those had symbolic value in the sense that they were taking people into a key part of their story with God. And so here's a couple things that I've brought. So one is like a cross. You might have a cross in your sacred space. Maybe it's a bigger one or a smaller one. But the cross is a symbol that reminds us of God's grace, of God's mercy. It says, God showed his love among us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this cross reminds me that this is a place where I can simply come just as I am and know, because of the story of Jesus, that I'm forgiven and that I'm accepted and welcomed and there's grace for me. So that might be an example of a symbol you might have in your sacred space. You might have a scripture verse, maybe a verse you meditate on. This is one that has been hand-lettered, one of Lauren's hand-letterings. So you might have a scripture verse. Again, that's something that takes you into the story, into the scriptures. You might have a piece of art that's meaningful to you. I don't have one of those with me. You might have, you know, your Bible with you. These things that draw you into the story, that help you to remember that you're part of this grand story of grace and love and redemption. The other category of thing you might have in your sacred space is things that are of physiological value. So not just symbolic value, but value for your body, that allow your body to settle in, right? Sometimes you sit down and it's a long time before you realize, oh my gosh, I'm still in go mode. Do you ever have that experience? So what are things that might help you to get out of that mode and to just settle in with your whole body? And so here I have a candle. So that's maybe one example. And that we're talking about visually, that might be helpful. And even the smell, or you might have, I have some essential oils here. Maybe you wanna, those aromas might help you. And the more you do it, the more you use those aromas during your sacred time, the more those things are going to help your body settle in to, this is important time, God is gracious, and those type of truths. I also have sand here. Sand is often used in spiritual practices of not just Christian traditions, but others as well. There's something about it, right? The sand between your feet or even in your fingers. This can also be symbolic. I know people who, and we've done this at during worship times at various times. They might use it for confession. So you might write like, this is a sin that I need to confess, and then wipe it away as a symbol of God's mercy. So, you know, things like that. I also have, and this is just as a encouraging you to make this personal, I have a cork from a wine bottle. And you might think, that's strange. And let me tell you why. One of the times that I feel most open and receptive to anything is we have nights where we'll put the kids to bed, and then Lauren and I will share a meal, and we'll have a couple glasses of wine with that meal. And those are times where I feel so filled with love and grace, where I know I can be vulnerable. I know I can say how I really am. I know I can hear challenging things and know that I'm loved in that space. And so maybe there's something like this that you can hold or see, even smell, and it can kind of take you back to those moments and those places where you feel most open, most able to be free, and most receptive to other people and to God. So, and again, this can be a space that you go to, or, you know, if it's something like this, it's something you could take to different spaces, right? And you could take it to the park and put down the cross there, and maybe take a candle and a lighter and light that. You could take it and make it mobile so that the space can change, but you're still, the concept is you're still using these things that are helping you to enter into that that experience, enter into that mindset and body set of being able to be in God's presence. So I hope you're seeing that this is not some incantation. This is not something that summons God and that God must respond to. That's sorcery. That's idolatry. That's not what we're talking about. This creating sacred space is a practice and an experience that can help you to be more open and receptive to God. And so I would encourage you that over the next week or so, that you begin to create a sacred space. It can be an individual one for just you, or it can be, you could have a family one. Maybe it's something you put at the table. Over our dinner, in our dining room, we have a piece of art that depicts the Last Supper. It's a way of consecrating that space and saying, when we break bread and when we drink, when we have meals together, Christ is with us, right? So you can do it on an individual way or a family way, but try and ask, again, I'm going to read these questions again to you. What helps me to take off my armor so that I can receive and be receptive to grace and truth? What reminds me that this is valuable time and I don't have to accomplish or achieve or produce anything else? What ushers me, body, mind, and spirit, into the truth of God's holiness and God's love? Take time, and as you do that, you can maybe come back, and I'm going to offer a prayer of consecration that you can say over that space. So I'm going to do that now. And again, you can pause the video and do that and then come back, or you can just, you know, remember where it is in the video and do it later. But let's pray together. Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are filled with grace and truth. May this space, may these physical items help me to open myself to the fullness of the grace and truth we have in Jesus. In this space, with these items, may I be open and receptive to the movements of your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, within my heart, within my body, within my mind, within my soul, that I might offer all of myself as you have given all of yourself to me. Amen.